Hi, this is Dr. Tina Webb, and you are listening to the Coping Season Podcast, the show that discusses mental and emotional wellness to help Black men and Black women begin to heal and cope with the effects of emotional distress. Although I am a licensed clinical social worker, please note that this podcast is not meant to be used as a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist. Get ready to laugh, think, and be entertained. It's time to cope. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am so glad to be back with you all on another Wednesday. And today's June 1st, so happy June. I cannot believe we are almost halfway into the year 2021, and so much has happened already. And there is so much to talk about today. So let's just get right into it. I know many of you know who Naomi Osaka is, but for those who do not know who Naomi Osaka is, she is one of the best tennis players in the whole world. She is a global superstar in the world of tennis. She's won 4 Grand Slam championships. She won her first one when she was 20 years old, and she's currently only 23 years old. She is exceptional at her job of being a tennis player. But you know what else I like about Naomi Osaka is that she's very sweet. She's very shy, very soft-spoken, but she is also an activist. She uses her platform to address issues affecting the Black community. Now, Naomi Osaka, her father is Haitian. Her mother is Japanese. She was born in Japan, but she was raised in the United States. And even though she's shy and she's soft-spoken, she still stands up and she does what's right. She doesn't care about losing money. Like last year in 2020, she withdrew from the Cincinnati Open because she was protesting the shooting of Jacob Blake. And then also during that 2020 U.S. Open, these are the huge tennis matches that are broadcast all over the world. She wore a series of masks. You know, the masks that we wear for COVID, we got to put over our nose and our mouth. She wore a series of them. And on the mask, it had the names of Breonna Taylor, Elijah McClain, Ahmaud Arbery, Trayvon Martin, George Floyd, Philando Castile, and Tamir Rice to raise awareness during the Black Lives Matter protest. So she is an activist, like I say. She is a superb tennis player and just an amazing young woman. And the reason why we're talking about her today is because she's playing in the French Open right now, or she was. I'll get to that in a second. But last week, she put out a statement saying that she wasn't going to be doing any press during the U.S. Open. She's just going to play her tennis matches, and she didn't want to talk to the media afterwards. You know how they like to interview them. So she canceled all of those press obligations, and she ended up getting fined. They fined her $15,000 for the first one that she missed, and then they told her they were going to fine her, I guess, every time. And the reason why she withdrew is because of mental health issues. She shared that she struggles with depression. And it takes a toll on her, you know, especially with all of these athletes, as we've been seeing lately, like with the basketball players, people get disrespectful. They ask them all these little disrespectful questions. They come for them in the interviews. You got fans throwing popcorn on basketball players' heads, throwing water bottles at them, you know, just comparing them to other people, comparing Osaka to Serena and Venus and, you know, all of that. It takes a toll on a person. So she was like, you know what? I'm going to set a boundary. I'm going to do this U.S. Open, not U.S. Open. I keep saying that. It's the French Open. She's like, I'm going to do this, but in order to protect my mental health, I'm not going to do any press obligations. But they're not feeling that. So they started fining her, and then they threatened her and told her that they're just going to go ahead and kick her out of it if she does not do what they're telling her to do. The tournament organizers, they threatened to expel her. So what she decided this week, she took matters into her own hand and she left the tournament on her own. She withdrew. She said, forget the money, forget the accolades. I'm going to take care of my mental health. I'm not going to let anybody force me to do something that I said I don't want to do. And she set a boundary. And, you know, they couldn't accept what she was saying. They're going to fine her. Oh, well, we're going to make her pay. We're going to make her do. She's going to get tired of paying this amount. And she's going to do what we're telling her. Oh, she's not tired of being fined. All right. Well, we just going to threaten to kick her out. Oh, that's going to get her on doing what we said we want her to do. You know, when people can't control you, they don't know how to handle it. When we draw a line and people are trying to cross it continuously, and then you make sure that that line is not movable, people don't know how to handle it. They tend to try to make it as though you're a problem. Something is wrong with you. You're tripping. You think you all that or something? You think you're better than everybody else? How many of y'all have heard people say that to you? But Naomi Osaka, she did not fold. She set her boundary and she didn't go back on it. You know, after they threatened to kick her out and all of that stuff, and that wasn't successful because she withdrew herself, then they want to come to her. Oh, well, can we check in on your well-being? You know, we just want to see if you're okay. Maybe we can talk to you and just see how we can work through this. And she was like, no, nothing can be done. They were unsuccessful with trying to get her back in. See, you threatened her. And now she's like, all right, you know what? I'll just leave. I don't need the money. I don't need the accolades. I'm going to take care of me. There's nothing you can say to get me back. And that's what you have to do. When you set a boundary, when you draw a line, you can't be flip floppy. You got to stick with what you said. And that's how people will respect you. I bet you they're not going to do this again, because now they see she means business. She's not just all talk. She does what she says that she's going to do. Don't test her. Let's not threaten her. Let's be supportive. And you know what? If she doesn't want to do press, then that's fine. Because now they just lost one of the biggest tennis players in the world just because they didn't respect her boundaries and they were trying to control her. And now since she's withdrawn from the French Open, a lot of people have been coming to her support. A lot of fans, a lot of other sports players, celebrities, they've been coming and they've been speaking out, like Serena Williams. Oh, and just a little sidebar, you know, when I talked about Naomi Osaka, she won her first U.S. Open when she was 20 years old. Well, that was when she played against Serena Williams. She won because she beat our Serena Williams, the number one tennis player in the world. So it was a very famous tournament, a very famous win. So now when all of this is happening with Naomi Osaka, like I said, a lot of people have been coming forward. And Serena Williams, she came forward in support. And she was just saying that she wished that she could give Naomi Osaka a hug because she knows what it's like. Because Serena has been in those positions as well. And she was sharing how, you know, people have different personalities. Everybody is different. Nobody is the same. She was talking about how she's thick. Some people were thin. You got to let her handle it the way that she wants to. And in the best way that Naomi thinks that she can. You can't keep comparing people and thinking that all people are alike. Steph Curry has come out in support of her. Billie Jean King. She was just saying like how brave of Naomi Osaka to tell the truth about the fact that she's struggling with depression. And we need to give her the time and the space that she needs to take care of herself. And Steph Curry, he came out and he was just saying that this is so impressive that she's taking the high road, even though she wasn't protected by the powers that be. He was saying you should never have to make a decision like this, but she's taking the high road, even though the people that are supposed to be protecting her didn't do their job. A lot of people are talking about boycotting the French Open. They're saying, because you know what, when she announced that, they were like still pushing the issue, trying to act like she's just using mental health as a scapegoat. They had posted like this thing on their account, the people from the French Open, just very insensitive. They deleted it now because they got a lot of backlash, but they posted pictures of like all the other players talking about they understood the assignment and she's going to have to watch from the sidelines or something like that. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it was disrespectful and it wasn't, they weren't concerned for her mental health. And it was like, you know what? We didn't get what we want. I don't care about your mental health. The point is we told you to do an interview and you're telling us no, you know? So a lot of people are just saying like boycott them, because why are they punishing her for having anxiety, for having depression, for having a mental health concern? That's not right. When somebody tells you that they're struggling, you need to back off. Despite what you think is right or what you want, let her do what she needs to do to take care of herself. So like I said, a lot of people have been supporting her, not just for standing up for herself, but also for raising awareness to mental health issues. Like I said, she is an activist. Every time she does something, even though it might be subtle, like I said, she's very shy, it sends a huge message. So in today's segment of Ask Dr. Tina, I want to read something that Naomi Osaka said regarding her withdrawing from the French Open. She stated, and I quote, "Hey everyone, this isn't a situation I ever imagined or intended when I posted a few days ago. I think now the best thing for the tournament, the other players, and my well-being is that I withdraw so that everyone can get back to focusing on the tennis going on in Paris. I never wanted to be a distraction, and I accept my timing was not ideal, and my message could have been clearer. More importantly, I would never trivialize mental health or use the term lightly. The truth is, I've suffered long bouts of depression since the U.S. Open in 2018, and I have had a really hard time coping with that. Anyone that knows me knows I'm introverted, and anyone that has seen me at tournaments will notice that I'm often wearing headphones, as that helps dull my social anxiety. Though the tennis press has always been kind to me, and I want to apologize to all the cool journalists who I may have hurt. I am not a natural public speaker and get huge waves of anxiety before I speak to the world's media. I get really nervous and find it stressful to always try to engage and give you the best answers I can. So here in Paris, I was already feeling vulnerable and anxious, so I thought it was better to exercise self-care and skip the press conferences. I announced it preemptively because I do feel like the rules are quite outdated in parts, and I wanted to highlight that. I wrote privately to the tournament, apologizing and saying I would be more happy to speak with them after the tournament as the slams are intense. I'm going to take some time away from the court now, but when the time is right, I really want to work with the tour to discuss ways to make things better for the players, press, and fans. Anyways, hope you are all doing well and staying safe. Love you guys. I'll see you when I see you. And that's what Naomi Osaka had to say. Hopefully she's getting the self-care that she needs. I've been there before. I know many of you have been there before. We have had to say no. We've been in difficult situations where other people might be like, wow, I can't believe you said no to that. You tripping. You should have just did it. You could have did that. You know, but no, we have our own value system. Everybody has their limit. There's only so much that all of us can take, you know, given different situations. You know, sometimes if you're always going out all the time, going out, and you're tired of going out all the time, you want to study and be at home, but your friends or your family members, whoever it is that you hang out with, they keep pressuring, no, let's drink. Come on. And you keep going, doing what you don't want to do. And then finally, you're like, you know what? I need to make a change. And you draw a line. And it's like, no, I'm not going out this month, or I'll catch you on another time. And sometimes people can't respect that. They still keep pushing. But we have to be firm. We got to be confident. We have to stick to what we say and know that it is okay to say no. You can't say yes all the time. You know, we have to set boundaries for different reasons. If you're in a relationship and your partner keeps cheating on you all the time, you keep finding phone numbers, you keep finding situations happening with them, and you keep staying with them. There's no consequence of their actions. You're mad for a couple days, and then that's it. They know how to get you back. But when you're tired and you're like, enough is enough, and you draw that line, you set that boundary, okay, they cheated on me, I'm breaking up with them. It's over. I'm blocking them. I'm done. I'm moving on with somebody new. When you finally set that boundary with a person, that's their issue if they can't accept it. But for you, it's a way to maintain your peace, to maintain your mental health, to take care of yourself. When we set boundaries with people, it makes the relationship better. It builds our self-esteem. It helps us to see, hey, you know what? My wants, my needs, my desires are just as important as anyone else's. Other people can tell me no. How come I have a hard time telling people no? As human beings, we share the same experiences with each other. There comes a point where you can no longer tolerate something. You can no longer tolerate a certain behavior, or you can't tolerate something that somebody does and still feel good about yourself. Sometimes people will continuously do and say things to us to where you don't feel good in the relationship. You don't feel good about yourself for tolerating so much. And there comes a point where you set a boundary because it's like, you know what? I'm not dealing with this anymore. But guess what happens? As we all know, people violate. We got people that violate boundaries all the time. They don't respect it. They don't accept it. And oftentimes when the boundary is crossed, when people cross the line with us, when they violate our boundaries, most people get mad. They get angry, but they don't know what else to do beyond that. They just get mad. And then the person is able to come back and smooth it over with you. And then you just keep repeating the same cycle of them taking what they need from you and you being disappointed. You being in a position of not speaking up for yourself, of not standing up for yourself, of not saying no, of tolerating behavior over and over and over that you're tired of. You're tired of dealing with it. And that's why there has to be consequences. There has to be consequences when people overstep their boundaries, when people cross the line with you. Like Naomi Osaka, she drew a line. Hey, you know what? Athletes aren't respected oftentimes when they go into press conferences. People put doubt in their head. People try to make them feel bad. You know, this is a stressful job that I'm doing already, and I don't want to be a part of that right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to do any interviews with the press. Not right now. I'll do it like after the French Open is over. So that should work, right? So that was her boundary. She drew the line. This is what I'm willing to do. And her line was crossed. They were like, you know what? Forget your little line. Guess what? We're about to fine you. They stepped over the line. And oh, you know what else? If you don't do what we say, we're going to go ahead and kick you out of the Open. So she already made up in her mind. She probably already made up in her mind, hey, I'm not going to do the interviews. And if that's an issue for them, I'm just going to remove myself from the tournament. And so that's what she did. She stuck with what she said. She gave them a consequence for them overstepping her boundary. When there are no consequences, people will just keep doing the same thing over and over. You'll keep saying, I don't like that, or I don't want that, or can you please stop doing that? You'll be yelling and upset and all of these things. But because there is no consequence of the action, your yelling doesn't matter. You're giving that person permission to keep doing the thing that you don't like. They're going to keep on continuing this undesired behavior because there is no consequence to it. There's nothing to stop them from doing it. And that can make a person feel hopeless. It affects your self-esteem because you feel like you have no power, that there's nothing that you can do. This person is just going to do whatever they want to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. But that's not true. When we set boundaries, we teach people how to treat us. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. So on today's episode, I want to take a deeper dive into healthy boundaries in the Black community. When we talk about boundaries, we're talking about what's okay and what's not okay in a relationship. And a relationship could be like with coworkers. It could be with, you know, a romantic relationship. It could be with your kids, your parents, your friends, your whoever. What's okay and what's not okay. In every relationship, we have rules. You know, there's rules, there's norms, and there's limits that we set in our relationships. Like, you know, there's certain things that's outside the norm, maybe in your relationship. Like, if you know that you call me every morning, and then now for the last week, you haven't been calling, okay, now you're doing something different. What's going on? That's outside the norm of the relationship, of the rules that we've set. Basically, a boundary is that invincible line that we draw. It's that line that you draw around yourself to identify what is acceptable behavior and what's not acceptable. When a person has healthy boundaries, they're able to say no when they want to. They're able to say yes when they want to. When someone has healthy boundaries, they're able to decide who and what they're willing to allow in their lives. Like I mentioned earlier, those boundaries teach people how to treat you. And not just the boundaries, but the consequence of somebody crossing that boundary, because consequences are a part of having healthy boundaries. You know, and consequences are different from punishment. We're not talking about punishment. Consequences are a way to make sure that other people don't keep treating you in a way that you don't like, or in a way that you find unacceptable or disrespectful or whatever the case may be. It's not about changing other people, because sometimes people don't change. Sometimes people will continue to cross the line with you. They don't care what you say. They don't care about your boundary. And that's what people have to look at. People have to look at that and see, hey, you know what? Am I going to continue this friendship with this person who doesn't respect my boundaries or this line that I've drawn? I told them I don't like this behavior and they keep doing it. Am I going to continue dating this person or being in a romantic relationship with somebody who doesn't respect me? Am I going to continue to allow my father, who's abusing drugs, to keep coming into my home and stealing from me? or live with me, even though I told him that he has to go to rehab if he wants to continue to live in my home? Am I going to keep allowing somebody to cheat on me over and over again and keep taking them back? When people don't respect the boundaries, that's when we have to make some choices. Either you're going to continue the same pattern that you've always have. You're going to stay with the person. You're going to be hurt over and over. You're going to continue to be disrespected because you haven't done anything different. You just keep saying, how many times do I have to keep telling you, I don't like that. You need to stop doing that. Are you going to stop? Stop doing that. Please stop doing it. I don't like it. Okay, you said you're going to stop. Well, you said that last time. You still have, you know, you're just going to keep going in this circle, this pattern of you complaining, you yelling, you keep begging and pleading for somebody to change. And they're just going to keep doing what they do just because there is no consequence. So we got to make a choice. You either going to stay and keep getting hurt, or it's time to take action. And that's where the consequence comes in. And like I said, consequence is not the same as a punishment. It's about self-care. It's about self-preservation. It's about self-love. So when we set a consequence, you're choosing yourself. Setting boundaries and having consequences is not about changing a person. Although we would hope that they would change the behavior that we don't like that they're doing to us. But sometimes, like I say, people don't change. And when that happens, you have to be okay with walking away. You have to make a choice. You got to take action. You can't just keep complaining, complaining, complaining. Sometimes you got to be willing to walk away. Either a person is going to change their behavior, or it needs to become clear to you, hey, they're not able to meet my needs. And in that case, if you know that a person isn't able to meet your needs, that they're not willing to respect or to do something that you said you don't like, it's unacceptable to you, then maybe it's time to find somebody who can meet your needs and be okay with that. That's setting healthy boundaries. And also just keep in mind, like when we set boundaries with people, it doesn't have to be this big dramatic issue that comes up. It can be something that's subtle. If you have somebody that you just met and you're dating, maybe I'll talk about dating more because I know that's what gets people's attention when we talk about romantic relationships. But it could be something at work. Like if your boss is calling you on your off days or expecting you to respond to emails when you're off of work already and you're at home, then a subtle boundary would be to not answer the phone or not answer emails or respond to emails when you're off work. That's setting a boundary and the person will get the message. Oh, okay. Let me stop doing that. And if they don't get the message by the fact that you're not answering and you see them the next day or a couple days later and they say, hey, I emailed you over the weekend or I called you over the weekend and you didn't answer, then that's a time to have a conversation and you set the boundary verbally. Oh, I don't answer phone calls regarding work on my off-duty time. I value my personal time and I'll save it for when I return to work. And that's setting the boundary. It doesn't have to be drastic. Oh, my boss keeps calling me all the time on my off days. You know what? I'm going to just quit my job. And maybe it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to go that way. There are other things that you can do before you get to that level. And another example is like, you know, say you're in a relationship with somebody or you have someone in your life. It could even be your mother, your father, whoever. And say they call you. They expect you to answer their call on the second or third ring every time. Do not miss their call. Or if they text you, they expect you to respond at least within 2 minutes or so. Why aren't you responding fast enough? They expect you to be on all the time. They expect you to be available to them. And if that's not okay with you, if you don't feel comfortable with that, if you don't like that, if that's a turnoff to you, then there is a way that you can set a boundary. You have to set boundaries that make you feel healthy, that make you feel happy. Because sometimes our relationships with people can drain us. If you feel drained, you feel overwhelmed, if you feel anxiety because of the dynamic of the relationship, then that's where you may need to set a boundary. And like I say, it can be subtle. It doesn't have to be this big old thing where you're like, stop calling me all the time. Don't expect me to respond to your text all the time. Okay. That's annoying when you do, you know, you don't have to come at them like that. You can just do something subtle, like take your time in responding to their text messages. You don't have to respond right away. It's your phone. You pay the bill, hopefully. But even still, if you didn't pay the bill, you don't have to respond right away to a person. If that's something that's annoying to you, if you don't like doing that and you want to let that person know that this behavior is not okay or these expectations are not cool with you, you can have a conversation with them. Hey, you know what? I'm very busy all the time, so I'm not going to be available like that. Sometimes I'm not able to answer your phone call. It might be a couple hours. You know, it might take me to the end of the day to check my text because I don't look at my phone at work, or I leave my phone in the car. So you set a boundary with that person. Or if you don't even want to have the conversation, then you can just start to do things. Take time responding to texts. Don't answer their phone call right away every time that they call. You can call them back in 10 or 15 minutes or however you decide to do it. But keep in mind, people don't always respect or accept those boundaries. So even still, you'll get pushback maybe from a person. They might not like the fact still that you don't respond right away. They might get offended when you're not spending as much time with them, or you've pulled away a little bit. And that's their right. They can be offended. They can be upset. But this is when our own self-worth comes into play. It's about your self-care, your self-worth, and being okay with knowing that sometimes you're going to disappoint other people. They might get upset. Their feelings might get hurt because you've chosen to say no. And that's okay. It's important for us to be able to set and communicate our boundaries with other people so that we can have healthy relationships. And when we talk about boundaries, you know, that's the space between you and another person. That space can be physical space. It could be emotional space. It could be mental space. There's different types of boundaries, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But those boundaries is what helps us to establish and to define what we're comfortable with and how we would like to be treated by other people. So it's very, very important that we have healthy boundaries so that we can have healthy relationships with people. When we set boundaries with people, it shows that you have the courage to love yourself. It's all about loving yourself. I love myself so much that I'm able to not tolerate certain behaviors, and I'm going to speak up against it. And if somebody keeps doing it, then I love myself enough to not be a part of it, to remove myself, to take care of my self-care, to take care of my mental health, my emotional wellness, or whatever the case may be, however you decide, whatever consequence you set forth. But like I say, it's about the courage to love yourself, even though you run the risk of disappointing someone else. Because I've set this boundary, or because I've chosen to remove myself as the consequence of them overstepping my boundaries, I'm running the risk of them not liking me anymore, of them being hurt, them being angry with me. And that's okay, because I love myself and I'm choosing me. It's a way to show compassion to yourself. It's about self-compassion. And when we build that ability to have compassion for ourselves, then it allows us to show compassion for other people as well. It's going to strengthen our relationships, strengthen our connections with people. Being able to say no, it's very important. And people have a hard time saying no because of that. I don't want them to be mad at me. So I'm going to go ahead and just do it, even though I wanted to relax on Saturday and stay home all day. But I know that they probably going to get mad at me if I don't go. So I'm going to go ahead and go. And the whole time you can't even really enjoy yourself because you really wanted to be at home. You really wanted to do something else. It's okay to say no. Like I say, that is an act of having compassion on yourself. Because if your friend said to you, you know, oh, my other girlfriends want to go out, but I really want to stay home because I'm so tired. I've been working all week, but I know they're going to get mad at me. If your friend told you that, you'd be like, girl, just stay at home. They'll understand. Don't even worry about that. If you don't feel it, then just stay at home and relax. It's easy for us to have compassion for other people, and we can tell them, you know, oh, it's okay. But we have a hard time telling ourselves that it's okay. And that's what we have to work on, having a little more self-compassion so that we can limit that pain that we feel oftentimes. We deal with a lot of emotional pain. We deal with a lot of suffering. We deal with irritation, resentment, anger, you know, a lot of emotions, because we haven't learned the power in saying no, because we're worried about people not liking us. And it's about acceptance. You have to be able to accept the fact that not everybody is going to like you. Everyone isn't going to accept you. They're not going to respect you. You're not going to be invited to everything all the time. There are times when you're not going to be included. You're not going to be a part of something that you thought that you should have been. Whether it's family, friends, a significant other, people are going to disappoint us. People have no problem saying no to us, to setting their boundaries. And it's important for us, like I say, it's about self-love, self-worth. What are you willing to tolerate? And just knowing and accepting the fact that you can't be everything to everybody. And that's okay. When people have healthy boundaries, they're going to value their own opinion. They're not looking and seeking validation from other people. They're able to make their own decisions. They're able to, you know, not compromise their values for other people. And not only are they able to say no to other people when they want to, but they're also able to accept when people say no to them. No, not today. No, not right now. And they're able to respect those boundaries that other people set. Also, people who have healthy boundaries, they know what they want. They know what they need, and they know how to let people know what they want and need. They know how to communicate those wants and needs to other people. And then, you know, you also see when people have healthy boundaries, like you see it in the way that they talk, the way that they share information. People who are healthy and they have healthy boundaries and healthy relationships with other people, they're going to share personal information in an appropriate way. They're not oversharing too much about themselves. They're not undersharing too much about themselves, unlike somebody who might have rigid boundaries. And let me just back it up a little bit. You know, there's three different common types of boundaries. There's rigid boundaries. Those are the people who are like very distant, maybe. They're emotionally, physically distant from people. They like avoid intimate relationships. They have a hard time making like having close relationships with people. They're not likely to ask for help or to seek help from someone. They don't have close relationships. They might have a few close relationships, but not that much. And they're very like protective of their personal information, very secretive. They're not going to open up easily to you. And they're like kind of detached, even though they might be in a relationship with somebody. They're very detached in that relationship. So they're not very intimate. They might be like in their own world, sitting in the living room all the time in their newspaper or in their book, as opposed to like cuddling and talking to their partner about their day and stuff. So they're that's more of like a rigid type of boundary. They keep their distance from other people because they're scared of being rejected by them. So you'll see that they keep other people at a distance to avoid possible rejection, you know. And then there's porous boundaries. So those are more like loose boundaries. Those are people who like they overshare personal information right away. Like you just met them. They're telling you everything from childhood. This happened to me. That happened to me. Oh, you know, just going deep, telling you all of their business, just oversharing, showing you how much money they have in their bank account, talking to you about all this stuff. It's like kind of inappropriate boundaries. You know, they have a hard time saying no. When people ask them to do things, they're doing it, even though they don't feel like it or whatever. They get over involved in other people's problems. They all in other people's business all the time. They're trying to fix other people, fix their problems. Oh, is there something I could do? Oh, well, you know, you were telling me, oh, my friend, she's going through X, Y, Z, and I just feel so bad for her. And I'm just trying to see what I can do. And I'm, you know, like just over involved, just too into it. And it's not even your problem. It's not your situation. You know, sometimes people, who have these porous boundaries, they're very dependent on what other, they need other people to tell them what to do. They keep asking questions, you know, does this outfit look good? Do I look good? Or what do you think I should do about this or that? Or what do you think about this? Or, you know, they can't make their own decision. They're very dependent on the opinions of other people. And they're more willing to accept disrespect, to accept abuse. They're more likely to stay in relationships and situations, friendships with people where they're not respected, where they're constantly being talked to bad or being treated badly. And the reason why is because maybe they fear rejection if they don't do what people want them to do. If they don't comply with other people, they're afraid that they're going to be rejected. Oh, if I say no, then they're not going to invite me anymore. If I say no, then maybe they're going to break up with me or they're going to leave me. So no, I'm going to keep doing. And for the most part, most people, many of us, we have a combination of all three types of these boundaries. Like we can be very rigid, maybe when it comes down to work. You're at work with your coworkers and maybe you just go to work and do your job. You don't get too personal with people. You keep your distance. You do what you have to do. But then in your romantic relationships, you're sharing so much information. You can't tell the person no. You're bending over backwards to please your partner. You're like, need their opinion. You need their attention. And then with family, you have more healthier boundaries. Or with friends, you have a mix of all three different types. And also too, like our setting matters, our environment, because it depends on where you are. And that determines too, the appropriateness of the boundaries. Like for example, there's some people, you know, they don't know the difference. What we say at work, the way that we talk to people at work, we're not going to talk to them the same way that we talk to our friends that we hang out with. That might not be appropriate. You know, the way we talk to a judge in a courtroom or a doctor in the hospital wouldn't be appropriate to talk to your mother that same way or a family member. So, and then also too, just different cultures, they have different expectations too when it comes down to boundaries. Like there's some cultures where you can just stare at people and it's okay. In some cultures, it's not appropriate to express like emotions. You can't cry in public or you can't be expressing anger. And then some cultures, they encourage emotional expression. So it just depends. And as I mentioned earlier, there are different types of boundaries. Like, you know, there's physical boundaries, there's intellectual boundaries, emotional boundaries, sexual boundaries, material boundaries. There's boundaries that have to do with time. So when we talk about physical boundaries, we're talking about like our personal space. We're talking about physical touch. When people have healthy physical boundaries, they're going to be aware of what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in various settings and environments and the type of relationships. Like when is it appropriate to give a hug, to shake hands, to kiss somebody? That's what we're talking about when we talk about physical boundaries. And people violate physical boundaries all the time. Like when somebody touches us and we don't want to be touched. You know, I had a situation before, it was like a couple years ago, and I don't know why I let this person get that close to me, but I was at the Olive Garden and I was eating. It was Veterans Day and there were veterans in there and I was sitting at the bar area and I was eating my food and there was this veteran next to me. And so we were talking while we were eating, this older man. And then, you know, it was like I was there for a while and then it was time to leave. And he's like, happy Veterans Day and this and that. And, you know, do you mind if I can I give you a hug or something like that? And I was like, it was weird. And I was just like, oh, do you want a hug? You know, okay. So I went ahead and did like the little church hug. And he tried to grab me and pull me to him, trying to kiss me on the cheek. And I had to push him away. But it was a violation. Like, first of all, I shouldn't never even hugged him. I don't know. I was being too nice or something in that moment. But people violate our physical boundaries all the time. That wasn't appropriate. You're a stranger. I don't know you. I'm at a restaurant eating. First of all, you asked me for a hug. Should have said no to that. But then you try to violate even further, trying to force a kiss or something on me. And I was like, it was so awkward, y'all. I was like, I had put my head all back. I pushed away. I pushed him. I said, what are you doing? I said, what are you doing? It was like a little, I had a little scene, but people were looking like, what is he doing? You know? So yeah, when people try to touch us when we don't want them to, they try to kiss us when people invade our space, they invade our personal space, like somebody coming in and just digging through all your drawers in your bedroom, or they're like, I'm looking for something, and they going all through the, through your closet. Like, wait a minute, you need to ask me. Don't just go through my stuff like that. Somebody going and digging in your purse or opening up your wallet, talking about they looking for something and they didn't ask you. That's an invasion of our physical boundaries. And sometimes when people violate those physical boundaries, we get upset with ourselves. We blame ourselves, you know, like how I was when that man asked for a hug. I should have stopped that right there. I was mad at myself. Like, why did I even agree to go ahead and give him a, I don't know this person. And then he violated even further. But the thing about boundaries is that when we have situations like this, it creates the opportunity for us to develop stronger boundaries or healthier boundaries. So in that case, now I know it was a learning experience. Like, I won't be giving no hugs to nobody. My boundary is clear. Even my boundary with shaking hands and different things, any physical touch, you know, it's different now. That is less likely to happen to me again. And boundaries change over time. You know, when you're young, it's easy to have more of the porous boundaries, you know, where it's hard to say no, or you're still trying to learn what works for you and what doesn't, what's acceptable. You're still trying to find your voice in certain situations. But when you get older, it changes. It becomes easier to set boundaries. You know what you're not willing to tolerate, and you have no problem standing up for yourself or speaking up or letting people know, communicating that that's not okay. You know, my mom has shared a story with me, and she told me many times, she said, you know, she used to be mad at herself when she was young and she didn't speak up. And she shared a story about, you know, she was at some kind of event and she was like reaching to get, you know, some kind of treat off the table. And one of the ladies there slapped her hand, like, uh-uh. And my mom slapped her hand back. And she's, you know, basically she let her know, you don't do that to me. That's not acceptable. But there was a time when my mother was young, and she may not have set a boundary or let people know like that, I don't tolerate that. And then she would be upset with herself because she'd be thinking like, I should have said this, or I should have did that, or why did I allow this? Why did I allow that? So it just goes back to what I said. Sometimes these are opportunities for us to grow and to just discover what's okay, what's not okay. Sometimes we don't know that. We're not just born with this. We have to have these interactions with other people. And that is what determines, okay, you know what? I don't like that. And I'm not going to allow this to happen. And when people do cross the line, then this is what I'm willing to do. This is going to be the consequence. Another type of boundary is the intellectual boundaries. When we talk about intellectual boundaries, we're talking about thoughts and ideas. When people have healthy intellectual boundaries, they're going to have respect for other people's ideas. They're not going to be telling people, oh, that's stupid. I can't believe you thought of that. Oh, that's a dumb idea. I would never make something like that. I would never think like that. You know, you don't put people down or belittle them when you have healthy intellectual boundaries. And also when people have healthy intellectual boundaries, they know when to have appropriate conversation. Like, should I be talking about God right now? Should I talk about religion right now? Or should we just be keeping it superficial when talking about the food? Should I talk about weather right now? Or should we be talking about politics? Just knowing when is the appropriate time to talk about certain topics. So it comes with awareness. And the way that people can violate other people's intellectual boundaries is when they're dismissive of them. They're dismissive of the ideas or the thoughts that people share. Well, I think this. Oh, really? You think that? Oh, well, that's dumb. That is violating somebody. When we belittle other people, belittle their thoughts and their ideas and their perspective, then that is when we violate intellectual boundaries. And then we have our emotional boundaries too. Now, when we talk about emotional boundaries, we're talking about a person's feelings. When people have healthy emotional boundaries, they know when to share and when not to share personal information. Like, there's a limit on the information that they choose to share. Like, for example, in a relationship, when people have healthy emotional boundaries, then they know that gradually you open up to a person. You don't just share everything at one time and just tell everything about yourself in the first meeting, like personal things, you know, talking about how you've been sexually abused, or talking about that you use drugs, or talking about that you're having problems at work, or how much money you make, or, you know, personal stuff, or that you might have an STD, or that you've had an STD, or you have some kind of infection or something, you know. And there's people, they will divulge and they tell you everything. You'd be like, dang, TMI, you tell me all this stuff, don't even know me like that. But when people have healthy boundaries, they're not doing that. They understand that, you know, you share information as the relationship develops, as time goes on, little by little, you know. And you, as opposed to just revealing everything to everyone, that might be not as healthy. It's not appropriate. And when we talk about violating emotional boundaries, people's emotional boundaries get violated when we criticize, when we belittle people, when we invalidate their feelings. And we're like, I don't know what you're crying for. What you crying for? Oh, you mad. You're sitting up here mad, but I'm the one that should be mad because you did XYZ to me. I can't believe you sitting up here crying. You are a drama queen. You are a crybaby. Ugh. You know, that's when we violate people's emotional boundaries, when we talk to them like that. And then there's sexual boundaries. And when we talk about sexual boundaries, we're talking about the emotional, intellectual, and physical aspects of sexuality. When people have healthy sexual boundaries, it means that they have like a mutual understanding and respect for the limitations and the desires of their sexual partners. Like, they're not just gonna do stuff that can violate a person. They're going to talk to their partner like, do you like this? Is it okay if I do this, or if I do that? They're not just going to do things and violate, you know. People violate sexual boundaries when they touch you sexually and you didn't want them to. Any unwanted sexual touch. You know, I think about being in school and, you know, boys used to be like grabbing our butts or hit you on the butt and run and different stuff. Like, that's kind of like a sexual boundary violation. You're touching my person, you know. Or people grabbing your breast, or somebody like, you know, doing something to you sexually. You know, somebody raping you, somebody sexually abusing you, somebody doing something to you that you didn't want, that you have not agreed to, any pressure to engage in any sexual acts, peer pressure, trying to force you to do something that you didn't want to. Somebody looking at you and staring at you sexually. They're not saying anything to you, but the guy at work always looking, licking his lips or looking at you like he wants you. That's a violation of sexual boundaries. You know, sexual comments, sexual harassment, saying stuff, you know, looking at your legs and making comments, like any of that unwanted. If it's unwanted, then that is a violation of sexual boundaries. And then we have material boundaries. And when we talk about material boundaries, we're talking about money and possessions. People violate all the time. When people have healthy material boundaries, they're going to set limits on how much they share and with who. For example, if your son asked to borrow your car, then it's appropriate. It might be appropriate to let your son borrow your car, a family member, right? You can go ahead and let them use your car for the day to get to wherever they got to go. But say you just met a guy yesterday. You just started talking to him yesterday and he's like, you know what? Hey, do you mind if I borrow your car? I got to go to a job interview. That might not be appropriate. You don't know him. You just met this person. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about material boundaries, healthy boundaries versus unhealthy boundaries. And people violate material boundaries when, say, somebody steals something from you. They steal something. They damage your possessions in some way. They slash your tires. They break something of yours. They go into your purse and take some money. Or even if they pressure you, if they're pressuring you to give them money, to lend them your possessions, you know, oh, I can't use your car. Why I can't use your car? You know, I don't see why I can't, you can't just give me $200. Can you just give me the money? You know, somebody pressuring you for something that belongs to you, then that is a violation of your material boundaries. And then we have time boundaries. When we talk about boundaries regarding time, we're talking about how a person chooses to use their time. When a person has healthy time boundaries, they're going to set aside enough time to do what they have to do. They're going to get to work on time. They're going to make sure they get up early enough to be to work on time. If they told somebody they're going to pick them up for their date at 6 o'clock, they're going to make sure they leave with enough time to get there on time and not keep people waiting for them. You know, it has to do with work, relationships, hobbies. They're going to make enough time for these activities in their life. And the way time boundaries are violated is, for example, kind of what I said earlier. If somebody is demanding too much of your time, they want to be with you all the time. They want you to respond to their text messages right away, answer my phone calls every single time that I call. You know, if they're demanding too much of another person's time, then that is a violation of time boundaries. You know, relationships are very, very important when we talk about our well-being as humans. We need human connection. We need relationships with people. And since we have relationships with people, everybody is different. People have different values. People have a different idea of what's important to them. They might think, oh, you're tripping. I don't care about stuff like that. Or why does that bother you so much? That doesn't bother me at all. And like I say, everybody is different. We all have different values, different view of what's important. We have different boundaries. Sometimes our boundaries, they might align and they might match up with people in our family because we're pretty much raised the same. So we kind of have the same idea of what's right, what's wrong. But then our boundaries might not align with our boyfriends or our girlfriend or our friends, you know, or our husband or wives. So it's important that we know what our boundaries are before you even get into the situation. I'm talking about before you get into a relationship, before you start dating this person or become friends with somebody. Know what your boundaries are, and that way you won't just go with the flow, or you won't get into situations where you feel like you can't speak up or you have to think about what happened and then try to come back later. If you already know what it is that's okay with you, what's not okay, what you're willing to tolerate, what you're not willing to tolerate, then you can set those boundaries ahead of time. And then it's not like, oh, you've been just letting stuff go for so long, you never addressed anything. Now all of a sudden you're trying to set a boundary and they're looking at you like, what? I've been knowing you for 2 years and you never said that that's a problem. So why are you saying something now? So you want to be able to let people know right off the bat. And also just understand your needs, your wants, your desires are just as important as anybody else's. Let me tell you how. You know what time it is. It's time to cope. It's time to pull out our coping toolboxes. I'm going to give us some tools to toss in there today to help us cope with setting healthy boundaries. Remember, we are going to be building this coping toolbox every time that we're together so that we can keep everything that we need that can help calm us during times of distress and help us to express how we feel in healthy ways. The first thing that I want you to do when we talk about boundaries is to pay attention to your emotions. How do you feel? Allow yourself to feel your feelings and pay attention to them. Because in order to know what your boundaries are, sometimes we got to feel our feelings. We got to be able to trust ourselves and use what we feel as a guide to like, wait a minute, I don't think I'm comfortable with this, or I don't like this. Like when we feel angry, that lets us know sometimes that, hey, somebody crossed the boundary. Somebody didn't cross the line with me because I feel irritated right now. You know, if you feel nervous, you feel anxious, you feel worried, then that means that you're not comfortable with something. Somebody's asking you to do something or they're expecting something from you. You're not comfortable with it. If you're feeling nervous, you're feeling worried, you're feeling nauseous, you're feeling, you know, just that anxiety inside of you. If you feel happy or excited or you feel good about something, then maybe that's an indication that your boundaries are being respected. So you want to pay attention to how you feel. Just get connected with yourself and like, hey, you know what? I don't feel good right now. What am I feeling? Being able to put a label to it. I feel annoyed. I feel disrespected right now. I feel a little scared. So maybe your boundaries are being crossed. And you want to look at that. And then you want to be able to take action. When you set a boundary with somebody, you want to be clear that you're letting them know what you want, what you need, what you desire out of that relationship. And then if a person is not able to give you that, if they're crossing the line, you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to tell them, hey, you know what? I don't feel safe anymore. I don't feel respected. I don't feel loved. I don't feel like I can trust you. And because of that, you got to take an action to take care of yourself. If that means removing that person from your life, then so be it. If that means taking a break from that person, then that's what you have to do. If that means just being friends, or if that means you have to handle them differently as a friend, like, you know what? This is a person that I'm not going to be hanging out with that much, but we can still talk on the phone from here and there. Whatever the action or consequence may be, then that's what you do. Sometimes you have to limit the amount of time that you spend with people. Sometimes you might have a friend who's always talking to you about her problems, her man, her this, all these problems. But when you come to her, she's like, she sets a boundary with you. Oh, I can't talk right now, girl. You'll be okay. I'm in class right now. Or I'm talking to my boyfriend right now, girl. Or we watching a movie right now. So I can't even talk to you about that. You know, they're setting a boundary with you. But if you see that they're always doing that with you, and now you feel like you're not as respected, you're not as loved or valued, then you might have to limit the amount of time that you spend with them. Maybe you might have to limit the amount of time that you spend talking to them, or change the topics. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to share any of my personal relationship stuff with this person. I'm just going to talk to them about superficial things. It's up to you to decide what you feel is necessary in these various situations. You have to do what you have to do to take care of yourself so that you're not constantly feeling disappointed, so that you're not suffering, you're not feeling emotional because other people keep crossing the line. So you want to be able to take action as a way of self-care, taking care of yourself, honoring yourself and your needs. And also, too, it's important to take ownership. You know, boundaries are for you. You set the boundaries, and it's up to you to hold the boundaries, to make sure that you enforce the consequence. You know, you decide what you need. Other people don't decide what you need and what you want and what's best for you. If you don't like the way that you're being treated, or you're not treated the way that you want to be treated, then it's up to you to take ownership of the situation and uphold those boundaries. Because it's not up to anybody else to decide what's acceptable for you and what's not, what you're going to tolerate and what you're not. You know, when you don't set a consequence and you don't take action, then that's when people are deciding. It's like, okay, well, you know what? You're going to tolerate it. You're going to deal with it. You're going to accept what I'm providing right now. Because if you don't, what you going to do? What are you willing to do? And if you don't have an answer, if there's nothing that you're willing to do, then that is you accepting and letting other people decide what's acceptable to you. And you don't want that. If people aren't respecting your boundaries, then you don't have to wait for them to decide that, okay, I'm ready now. Now I'm going to do what you want me to do. You don't have to wait and be at their mercy. You can take action and decide enough is enough. I'm going to take care of myself. I choose me. I'm tired of fussing and fighting about the same things and nothing changes. I'm tired of complaining about the same stuff over and over and nothing changes. You know, you have the power. It's your life. You have more power than you think. So stop blaming other people for the things that they're doing. You know, oh, they're just not respecting me. I don't understand. What's the problem? I don't know why I'm not enough. You know, stop blaming them. Okay, fine. That's how they want to be. Now take control over your life. What are you going to do? You have to look at, why are you holding on to this person? Attachments. You know, we talked about it in one of these episodes. I can't remember what I think I called it, attachment theory. I'm not sure, but there's an episode on here and I talk about the different attachments. And if that's a problem, you wanting to hold on to people, even though it's unhealthy, then therapy can help. It's not easy to let people go. And I'm not saying you have to cut everybody out of your life, because that can be unhealthy too. But you have to be able to set boundaries and be okay with the fact that people might leave your life because of the boundaries that you set. People might, you know, show their true colors, and you have to be able to look at that and be okay with them not being in your life anymore. Instead of accepting people who don't respect you, who abuse you, who don't give you what you need, and you're constantly pouring into them and they're not pouring into you, you know, you have to be okay with moving on. Or you can have no boundaries, or you can like soften your boundaries to where it's like, you know, very loose. And that's going to help you to stay in the relationship with the person. You know, the friendship can continue. The marriage can continue, but you might not be happy. It's not going to be as fulfilling. You have to be able to set consequences when people violate your boundaries. Otherwise, they're not going to stop their behavior. When the behavior stops, then maybe you can accept the relationship and you can continue on. But say you set boundaries, you set a consequence for the actions, and the person just keeps continuing still, then you have to look at that. It's time to take a look in the mirror and you have to decide, is this relationship going to work for me? Am I going to accept this? You know, this is something that I refuse to tolerate. I don't like it. But am I going to keep staying in this situation just so I can say I have somebody? Just because it's hard for me to say no to people? Just because I'm afraid that they're going to be mad at me and maybe we can't be friends anymore after this because we broke? You know, I don't know. Whatever that is, you might have to talk to a therapist and find out what's going on. Why am I holding on to these attachments? Why am I doing so much to hold on to people who have hurt me, who disrespect me, who aren't showing me the same love, the love that I'm showing them? And it's a journey. You know, like I said, setting boundaries isn't something that we're just born with knowing how to do. It's a learned behavior. We have to kind of teach ourselves to do it and be okay with sometimes walking away. You know, setting boundaries and making sure that we have consequences. That's a journey of self-love, of self-discovery, of growth. If we want to live an abundant and meaningful life, then we have to learn these skills and we got to use these skills. Another thing that I want you to know is that you always, always have the right to say no. Even if you say yes, yes, yes so many times before, you still have the right to say no to people. Like Beyonce said, I said yes to your number and yes to you dating me. Yes, we can be together, but you gotta wait for me. First time I say no, it's like I never said yes. That's my song, and the message is clear. You can always say yes. You can always say no, whatever you choose to do. And you want to make sure when you're telling people no, you want to be clear. Express yourself clearly so that there's no room for them to say, well, I thought that you meant this, or I wasn't sure if you were saying no. No, you want to make it clear so that there is no doubt about what you want and what you're telling a person. And you can express no in many different ways. You don't have to just say no. You can say, you know, I'm not comfortable with this. Or you can say, I can't do that for you. This is not acceptable. Please don't do that. This doesn't work for me. I'm drawing the line at you asking me to do XYZ, or I'm drawing the line at you taking or doing XYZ to me. You know, you can also say not at this time, or I've decided not to. I don't want to do that. Those are all the ways to say no and to express yourself. And it's clear, to the point, and it can leave no room for doubt. I said no. Something else to keep in mind when you're setting boundaries with people is look at your body language. You want to be confident in your body language. Look at the person. Make eye contact. You know, you don't have to raise your voice. Use a steady tone of voice, something that is assertive and appropriate volume. You don't want to be too low. I just wanted to tell you that I'm not going to be able to go. Or you don't want to be too loud. I'm not going to go. I said I'm not going to do that. You don't have to be all like that. You could just be like, look at the person and use a steady, calm tone of voice. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't work for me. No, I'll pass. I'm not going to go. And it's also important to be respectful when we're setting boundaries with people. You know, we don't have to yell at a person. You don't have to put people down and use curse words or give people the silent treatment. It's okay to be firm. You don't want to be passive aggressive, acting like nothing is wrong, but then you slamming doors. Be assertive. Like I said, it's okay to be firm, and your message is going to be better received if you're respectful, if you're not yelling or raising your voice, if you just keep that steady tone and you're direct and you say what you have to say. And also, you want to plan ahead. You can start thinking about what you want to say, like how I mentioned these ways to say no. What are some other things that you can say to people before you go into talking about a difficult situation, before you address the fact that somebody has been cheating on you or somebody hasn't been calling you as much as you would like them to be calling you, or somebody switching up, acting different? How do you address these things before you even just have the conversation? Think about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, and that can help you to feel more confident about what you're about to address with the person. And also, compromise is important as well, because yeah, we can have boundaries, but some people can have, like I said, very rigid boundaries. So if it's appropriate, you want to listen to the other person too, see their side, what's their point of view. They might have some needs and stuff that they're expressing to you, and you can compromise. You can listen and you can consider the needs of that person. But keep in mind, you don't have to compromise. You don't have to do anything. You never have to compromise. You never have to listen to another person. You never have to do anything that you don't want to do. But keep in mind, give and take is part of a healthy relationship. Compromise is part of having a healthy relationship. It can't always just be your way all the time. Sometimes you got to be able to bend a little bit. People bend towards each other, and that's how relationships work. You might be in a situation where you live with friends, you have roommates, and maybe you got to get up for work at 5 o'clock in the morning, but your roommate just came in your room at midnight. She's trying to tell you about an argument she just had on the phone with her boyfriend. And what can you say in that moment? It's like, okay, I don't want to be insensitive, but I have my own needs and things that I have to do. So in that situation, you have to set a boundary with a person, and you can tell them, you know, I can see you're really mad right now. I could tell that you're upset. I want to talk to you. I do want to talk this through with you, but I got to get my sleep. Maybe we can talk tomorrow because I have to get up for work. And that's setting your boundary. Boom. Maybe you have a brother, or you just moved in with a boyfriend and you notice that he's been eating your food. Like when you get leftover food, maybe you brought home food from a restaurant, but it was yours, something that you were looking forward to eating. And you never discussed this about, oh, if the food is in there, well, you can just eat it. That was never a conversation. And you don't want him eating food that you bought, then you have to set a boundary. Hey, when I bring home food and it's in a leftover container or it's from somewhere, then that's something that's mine. And if you want something that belongs to me and it's in one of those containers, please ask me before you take it and you just eat it like that. So you want to set a boundary. You know, what are you going to say? If you have a male friend, you're not attracted to this person at all. You're not interested in being any more than friends, but yet your friend is starting to come on to you, and now he or she has asked you out on a date. How are you going to let them down and be very clear and not like, oh, you know, you are very handsome and, you know, but we're friends and I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want, I don't think that it's a good idea. No, you want to be firm. Like, you know, I'm flattered. I'm surprised that you see me that way. You know, thank you. But, you know, I just want to keep it as friends with us. And I'm not interested in anything more than being friends. And I don't want you to feel weird about this. We can still continue on as friends. But, you know, I do feel flattered that you feel that way. But, you know, that's not what I'm interested in. You know, that's setting a boundary. You're being clear, to the point, so it leaves no room for doubt or no room for maybe. If the answer is no, you know, boom, you just let them know. It's not nothing personal. It just is what it is. And in the words of two anonymous quotes, I leave you with this. Whatever you're willing to put up with is exactly what you'll have. Lack of boundaries invites lack of respect. And on that note, that's all the tools that I got. Go ahead and put those coping toolboxes away, y'all. It's time for one of my favorite parts of the show. Movie therapy, music therapy. In support of Naomi Osaka, I would like to dedicate today's episode to the song called Leave Me Alone by Michael Jackson. And the song says,
I don't care what you talking about, baby. I don't care what you say. Don't you come walking, begging back, mama. I don't care anyway. Time at the time I gave you all of my money. No excuses to me. Ain't no mountain that I can't climb, baby. All is going my way. 'Cause there's a time when you're right and you know you must fight. Who's laughing, baby? Don't you know? And there's a choice that we make and this choice you will take. Who's laughing, baby? So just leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone, girl. Leave me alone. Stop it. Just stop dogging me around.
I believe that. I receive that. And I mean that. It's coping season, y'all. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. You are not only listeners, you are my co-hosts, and we are a community. And I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your stories, experiences, and thoughts related to life issues, topics you'd like to hear discussed, or questions you'd like answered. Please visit me on the web at drtinaweb.com and click on Ask Dr. Tina to submit your questions, thoughts, and more. Tune in every Wednesday to hear my response. You can also check out the show notes as well as other contact information on the website. In the meantime and in between time, for additional updates, conversations, and more ways to interact, please connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Dr. Tina Webb. That's DrTinaWebb. Feel free to share your thoughts from the show on social media using the hashtag CopingSeasonPodcast. Lastly, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you are listening to help others find the show and learn to cope just like you. I appreciate and read every single review. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for spreading the word to all of your friends, family, and coworkers. I so appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.